gonna go.
Hopefully. Okay, and we should be popping in any moment. Oh, there's Mr. Ward.
So I know Mr. Tucker, he's calling in, and he just sent us an email noting his cell phone number.
Yeah, if you know the last four, I can keep an eye out for him.
1905, Miss Amanda.
Okay, and Sean is also doing the same, so I'll keep an eye open for his number as well.
Thank
you. I've got his. Do you know if Scott will be doing the same?
I believe maybe. Scott will be trying with Zoom, and then yeah, Mr. Lear, I know he has challenges sometimes with his equipment at home.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we have BCAT all logged on, and like I said, I'll keep an eye out for the other callers that'll be calling in, but we are right at 5:30, Mr. Lear.
Sounds great. Thank you. Let's get started. I'll call the meeting to order. This is the Tuesday, July 21st, 2020 regular meeting of the Kitsap County Planning Commission. Called to order at 5:30 p.m. The first order of business is introductions. A, we'll once again start on the south end, welcoming our returning commissioner, Jim Svensson.
Jim Svensson, South Kitsap. Glad to be back.
Great. Great to see you. And Kim Allen is not here. Let's see if we've got my... And I will mention that Commissioner Galloway sent an email. It sounds like he's ill and may not make it tonight, the way it was sounding. Okay, we'll move to Central Kitsap. Commissioner Shattuck.
Good evening, Richard Shattuck, Central Kitsap.
Great. Commissioner Beam.
Alan Beam, Central Kitsap.
Great. Commissioner Phillips.
Joe Phillips, North Kitsap.
And Commissioner Mall.
Amy Mall, North Kitsap.
And Mike Eliason, Central Kitsap. And we have not heard yet from Commissioner Aaron Murphy. He might be joining us during the course of the meeting. Okay. Item B, virtual meeting protocol. Mention a couple things we're going to try a little bit differently, especially since we're into deliberations at this particular meeting. So again, it's a little bit challenging that I can't see everybody when we have a screen of a document in front of us. When I don't have a document, then I can see everybody. To make it easier for the commissioners to participate in the discussion and make sure we don't run over the top of each other, we'll do recognition through two ways. One is how we've been doing it, raise your hands or just start speaking, that's okay. And then the second way is to go ahead like the public uses and raise your hand. And you'll note that on the screen, you can click that and I will see your hand raised over there and then I'll make sure I'm monitoring that and can call you during the course of the meeting. Item C, adoption of agenda. Are there any additions or corrections to the agenda as presented? Okay, seeing and hearing none, is there a motion to approve the agenda as presented? I think we had a motion from Commissioner Phillips. Yeah, there we go.
All right. Move to adopt the agenda as written.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, motion and second to approve the agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye and raising your hand, please.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any in opposition? And any abstentions? Motion is approved. Okay. Adoption of minutes. First, we have the meeting of June 16th, 2020. Are there any additions or corrections? I have a few that I'll quickly read, but Amanda, I'll just email these to you after the meeting. They're just small stuff, and I'm sorry to bother everybody with it, but I'm picky about it. On page 2, line 20, it says, "Come citizens may have some confusion." Obviously, it's just a typo. Some. And then on page 6, line 36, it says, "Mr. Gurney notes the INT, his process." Obviously, it's just a typo. Can make a quick correction there. And same thing on page 9, line 16, it says, if this can just be a, and it says efference to state code, it's just missing the letter R. And on page 10, line 8, it's a statement, and then it's a comma, it should be but, it just says BU, so we'll just add a T to that. And then on line 11, there's a letter T, it should be just permitted in instead of int. And then on line 23, that same page, it should say notes instead of note. And that's it. Sorry, I know we have significant issues to address tonight, but it is what it is. Are any other additions or corrections? Okay, is there a motion to approve the minutes as corrected? Sorry, Commissioner Phillips, we're on mute again. You usually don't do that.
I know, it's slipping up today. Move to approve the minutes as amended.
Great, is there a second?
A second.
Okay, motion to approve and second as corrected. All those in favor signify by saying aye and raising your hand, please.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Any abstentions?
Jensen.
Abstentions. And one abstention. Okay, Commissioner Svensson. Okay, the motion carries. Okay, now we got the meeting minutes of July 7th, 2020. I have a few, so on, and I'm trying to remember, now you're gonna have to tell me, we're missing Commissioner Svensson from the list of as either present or absent. And you can let me know if he was present or absent. I know he called in, but the meetings are running together now, so I'm not sure about that particular one. But he needs to be listed on one or the other.
He was absent.
Okay.
Him to absent.
Okay, great. Fantastic. And then on page 5, line 10, it says, with draconian standards, the represents. I'm not sure what that means. I think we can just delete the represents. So it just says, with draconian standards, comma, we aren't going to make any progress from the past 7 years. That's it. Okay. Any other corrections or additions? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve as corrected?
Move to approve the minutes as corrected for 7-7.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Okay, there's a motion second to approve as corrected. All those in favor signify by saying aye and raising your hand, please.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed? And any abstentions?
Svensson.
Okay, and Commissioner Svensson abstaining. Okay. Motion carries. And thanks again to Amanda. I don't know how many of you have had to take meeting minutes. I used to do them a lot. And it's not an easy chore, especially when they're not verbatim, but they're close to it. And by the way, an argument in favor of reducing some of the content, well, you're probably getting tired of hearing me about that. But the rules of procedure adopted by the county commissioner specifically state that the meeting minutes are supposed to be succinct. So I guess it depends on your definition of that, but I'm okay with the longer minutes. I was just trying to help staff out with it, but we appreciate the work Amanda does because it is a chore. So thank you, Amanda. Item G, general public comment. This is the opportunity for members of the public to provide input about any item not listed on tonight's meeting agenda. And I will note public comment has closed on Title 12. And stormwater design manual update, so we cannot accept any oral testimony about that subject. If you're interested in providing comment, we'll allow you up to 3 minutes to speak. And if you could, if you're a call-in, the instructions are on page 2 of the agenda. If you're using the internet or if you're calling in by phone, by internet users, you would use the raise hand feature on your computer. And then by telephone, you want to hit *9. Amanda, do we have any members of the public that wish to testify?
I do not see any general members of the public wishing to testify.
Okay. Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to the next agenda item. Item F, Item F, announcements. Okay. I just have a couple quick ones. One is, and I provided, just want to enter into the record that I provided a response to Mr. Bill Palmer just to make sure there was no confusion about the comments I made at the previous meeting about general public comment, because he felt that his comment to the staff, you know, whether it was a rhetorical question, that it was a procedural issue. And of course, I interpreted as, even though it was a question, it was leading to legal and policy implications, which I did not want the meeting to turn into a debate. So I followed up with an email letting him know he's always welcome at the meetings, and we welcome his and everybody's testimony. And if he wants to spend his, or he or anybody wants to spend their entire 3 or 5 minutes asking questions, that's their prerogative. But it doesn't necessarily mean by law that the staff or commissioners are compelled to respond to those questions. So I think we got that cleared up. And I did sign that as an individual commissioner because I hadn't had time to run that by the commissioners at the meeting. Same thing with, I sent an email to Commissioner Beam and provided copies to the commissioners where I addressed several issues. One is orientation. We've had a lot of new appointments over the past year and a half. And the last formal orientation was in 2017. I wanted to make sure Commissioner Beam, and for that matter, anybody who's interested could log online and find the document. Great slide presentations. You missed a benefit of having the instructor, Shelley Knipe, a former deputy prosecutor and a planning commissioner for a short period of time. But the information is there, and it's very good about Public Records Act, Open Public Meetings Act, those types of things. So, and in that same email to Commissioner Beam, I mentioned facilitation and communications, that every commissioner is welcome to communicate directly with staff. You don't have to go through the chairperson, and use your best judgment. You know that the chair and the vice chair are delegated certain authorities to speak on behalf of the commission, but as an individual, you're certainly welcome to call staff, and we all know we're advisory and don't direct the activities of staff. And then I also addressed personal email accounts, my own personal perspective, not necessarily representing the county's position, certainly not the legal department, but just keeping in mind that when you're sending from your personal email account, the law does not differentiate between your government-issued account and your personal account. It still is judged on the merits of whether it's a public document or not. So the best rule of thumb is just to keep in mind, if it has anything to do with the Planning Commission, my advice is to save it. Do not delete it. Retain it, especially in your set folder. But for any further information on that, we'd have to, of course, discuss that with the department and the legal department, civil division. And then same thing with agenda setting meeting. It's an informal group. I get briefings at particular times about different subject matters. We want to avoid having it be, because it's not a decision-making group. And there aren't really any decisions made other than composing the meeting agenda. But it is open. We just want to make sure that it doesn't turn into a quorum of a meeting. And we certainly don't want it to turn in more than its intent, which is strictly to compose the meeting agenda. And then last but not least, Zoom meetings. And I added that in there because I was thinking of our great friend, Jim Svensson. But voila, here he is and looks great. And we're happy you joined us tonight. And you're not the only one. We've had other technical issues along the way, but as time has gone by, we've had lots of improvements. And then the last issue I have to announce is all of us received a letter from Director Jeff Remack of June 16th, and he addressed DCD's guidelines, affordable housing efforts within the department, DCD and the Planning Commission's working relationship, and the role of the director and assistant director with the Planning Commission. So any questions or comments or any other announcements? Commissioner Beam.
Make sure I'm unmuted here. With regard to the DCD director's email, I think I'm guilty of one of the things in there. I noticed on the Board of Commissioners briefing agenda that there was a new program for watershed restoration and enhancement. the staff recommended that the best way for me to get informed on that program was to go to the commissioner's briefings. That has a couple things that are difficult for me. One, they're generally held in the daytime, and the agendas are usually posted on short notice, and they're often changed. In this case, it was postponed. I feel that this program has a large potential for affecting land use. As such, I think the commissioners need to be informed of its existence. This program grew out of the Supreme Court Hearst decision, which affected water use in the Skagit River Valley. Potential impacts of this is that there is a new RCW out. The RCW is 90.94.030. And what it does is it defines what's permitted and what's permit exempt. And the RCW 90.44.52 exempts personal wells, particularly up to 5,000 gallons a day. What 90.94.30 does is that drops that limit down to 950 gallons a day. It also sets up a control body to control new well developments. Among their charges is to build rules that rely on watershed monitoring and restoration and come up with procedures to authorize new well withdrawals exempt from permitting. It requires them to identify the watershed restoration and enhancement programs. In particular, they have to offset consumptive water use. When you start including those and the fact that they have the ability to change the fees on water based on what the water enhancement programs are and what the cost for potential taxing, I think there's a significant impact to land use that's coming up. What also bothers me is rural wells are usually accompanied by a septic system, which means any water that's coming out of a rural well is going right back in the land at the same point. All these things led me to ask that, hey, I think we should be briefed. That's why I asked. I find it difficult to find out what the county's position is. I've had to go off and research this on my own.
Hey, Sean, can you mute as the Planning Commissioner Beam is speaking? Please continue, Mr. Beam.
A couple things are that bother me about the RCW is it doesn't indicate what basins or what streams are to be monitored and how we're going to measure stream flows. And then it requires an agriculture organization participation because it affects them bigly. And I didn't see any agricultural person involved on it. They've got to meet and they have to, by next year, have this whole thing in place. The interesting thing is they have to have 100% agreement or ecology will do it for us. So I think this is a big program. It has a large impact. And that's why I wanted to bring the attention of the Planning Commission.
Thank you, Commissioner Beam, for bringing that up. For the record, I'm Angie Silva, Assistant Director for the Department of Community Development. I think the director's perspective, and again, I do not want to put words in Jeffrey Mack's mouth, I will take and receive that email that I was copied on, and kind of my interpretation and understanding where Jeff was going is that as it relates to the Watershed Restoration Act in relation to Hearst, there is a committee that was set up by statute that is chaired and led by ecology to move forward with developing a watershed plan for the Kitsap Peninsula specifically, as well as adjacent areas within the Wyra 15 watershed. Part of that committee's mission, as Mr. Beam says, they have to develop consensus on a plan moving forward. What that impacts may be, what does that do to Kitsap County land use regulations? We do not know. They are working on a draft. That draft, as per the board's direction, will be provided to them to provide policy guidance on when the county's position will be on that committee. And as Mr. Beam noted, if we cannot reach consensus within that committee, that is then the discretion of the Department of Ecology for the state to come to that conclusion, including Salmon Recovery Organization to provide recommendations on the draft plan and ultimately Ecology will define and approve what that plan is, as well as the associated rulemaking. That rulemaking procedure, which they are authorized under state law to do, does have its own public involvement process at the ecology level, who will be establishing those rules. So at this point, other than the Hearst decision and the impacts that legislation put in place right now, I cannot at this point speak intelligently what those impacts may be as it relates to Kitsap County functions. There's a lot of other partners around the table that includes water service purveyors, that includes the tribal entities, which have significant weight as part of this discussion, as well as other city jurisdictions. So at this time, we're happy to talk generally about what the statutory requirements are and where we are in the committee process. But as it relates to any proposal be going before the Planning Commission as an advisory vote, or to the Board of County Commissioners, that may change DCD fees, may change regulations related to the development of the rural area or any comprehensive plan changes, it's too early to tell. Once a draft is available, that again, that will be made available to the commissioners to guide the department on what their policy direction is for that effort.
Hey, Amanda, can we move, we have a request from Dave Ward to move from attendee to panelist, if you could do that, please.
I moved him a while ago. He's back over there.
Oh, okay. Or was it the other way? He was going from panelist to attendee. Okay. Maybe I read it wrong.
Sure. And Mr. Dave Ward, who's here for another agenda item, he is our representative as well as another staff member on the committee itself. So Mr. Ward, if you want to chime in on details or committee discussions, I'm not day-to-day up to speed on.
Yeah, there we go. You wanted to be a panelist. Got it. Okay.
Yes, this is Dave Ward. Thanks for flipping me over, Amanda. What Angie said was spot on. Right now, the law requires development of actions and projects to offset the water withdrawals. You are correct, Commissioner, that a lot of the water that is withdrawn from a well goes back into the ground via septic systems and via other mechanisms. But not all of it, and so that's part of the equation, and that's under consideration by Ecology's consultants as to figuring out just how much of that withdrawn water actually does not get recharged back into the ground. I did want to point out also that Kitsap Conservation District is a voting member on the committee, and the Farm Bureau is an ex officio member that has been participating in the discussions. And the plan is very drafty at this point. Language is just being put onto paper right now for some of the chapters. We expect to see, although it's not required by statute, we do expect to see a monitoring and adaptive management component that most of the committee members have advocated for. We don't know exactly what that will look like yet. But the idea here is based on the law, on the RCW, is that we need to identify ways to offset the impacts of water withdrawals from permit exempt wells. And that may include projects that involve recharge. It may include water reuse projects. Or it may include other changes that we haven't determined yet. So right now, it's a pretty open door as to what the committee is willing to consider. So if you have any specific ideas, feel free to reach out to me or any of the other committee members and let us know if you have any ideas.
Commissioner Beam?
Now, my point was, I think this is an important program. I think it has an impact. And what I requested was somebody to brief us so that we all get to know what it was. That's all I was asking for.
Comments noted. Again, Commissioner, I think what Jeff Remack is in, we are limited amount of resource. There's a lot of responsibility staff have to accommodate and task. Again, we're happy to answer questions as part of planning commission meetings, et cetera, if we need to set up some time, a little bit of time to discuss. But a lot of these comments and questions, as well as policy direction, is coming from the Board of County Commissioners directly. And what Jeff was also referencing, again, is focusing on the mission of the Planning Commission, which is proposals related to development regulations and comprehensive plans. As we don't have any proposals at this time, this is really would be an educational briefing on the RCW requirements and where we are in the overall process that ecology is leading us. And also share information when it does get to ecology for a final approval of whatever that may be, or goes to salmon recovery if consensus cannot be. There is a public involvement process, not just for the county, but any interested association, local or statewide, as well as interested parties to work at the state level when they're developing their rules. So comments noted, sir.
Okay, any other announcements? Okay, seeing and hearing none, we'll move on to item G, deliberation, stormwater design manual update. And we'll begin with Angie Silva and Dave Tucker. You mentioned Dave was going to be calling in.
I believe he is connected. His connection may be not the best, but we'll do the best we can.
Okay, and he's unmuted. Great.
So thank you, Chair. Again, the record, Angie Silva, Department of Community Development. I'll also introduce others who are here to work through the agenda item for today. And the focus really of today's meeting is to deliberate on the Stormwater Design Manual as well as Title 12 Stormwater Drainage Code. Also later in the agenda for today was draft findings of fact. Again, primary focus is to deliberate. If we don't get to the formal written findings of fact today, that's okay. That will defer to an August meeting. Here today with me, starting with Public Works, we have Dave Tucker, Assistant Director, overseeing utilities, Michelle Philly, Public Works, Michelle Perdue, Public Works, as well as Scott Diener, Sean O'Leary with Department of Community Development, and Robin Kirschbaum, who's been an instrumental consultant on drafting and getting us all prepared, consistent with the permit requirements as well as the ecology manual for this update process. So with that, I want to double check that the Planning Commission has received a number of items for deliberation today. Many of these are not new document submittals, including the second draft red line strikeout of the design manual dated June, as well as the Title 12 code revisions. Major change matrix showing changes from our current manual adopted in 2016 to the various drafts moving along through the public involvement process. Staff report, as well as what is modified or new as part of your packet, is a public comments matrix to recognize further written testimony submitted by the deadline, as well as a corrections, a RADA memo, and draft findings of fact. Please let me know if no one received that, and we'll make sure we get that to you right now. Hearing none, again, today's agenda item really is to discuss, ask questions, and deliberate amongst the commission. Oftentimes, these deliberations can take many forms, but often what starts the discussion prior to or deliberation effort is to motion to adopt and then further amend a particular item. So my suggestion, happy to answer questions prior to or during deliberations, but oftentimes there is a motion thrown by one planning commissioner and supported by another to motion to approve, for example, Title 12, and then we can work through deliberations of that, and then we can go to the design manual if that's a preferred method moving forward. If there's questions prior to we get into the deliberations, we are here to respond to the Planning Commission to our best availability.
Okay, great. So I know I've got a bunch of questions, and I know from a prior email, at least one other commissioner has questions, and we can include that as part of the deliberative process. But under Robert's Rules of Order and our procedure, as Angie mentioned, we should begin with a motion. Are there any motions regarding Title 12 and the Stormwater Design Manual update? And by the way, Steph, we need to take those separate, correct?
Correct. I would recommend taking one document, for example, Title 12, motion to approve, and then we can start the process and then move on to the design manual.
Okay. So are there any motions? Commissioner Shattuck.
I move to approve Title 12 as presented by, as amended and presented by staff.
Okay, we have a motion to approve Title 12 as presented and amended by staff. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and second. So we'll begin discussion on Title 12. So, Commissioner Shattuck.
I have a question, Angie, and I think it relates back to the issue Commissioner Beam was bringing up about the watershed and the Hearst decision, and how really the stormwater, I think, kind of meshes into that as part of this bigger picture. You know, Pat Fuhrer, in his most recent comment to the commission, mentioned, you know, and we talked about it earlier, that we are going well beyond what's required by ecology. And again, because this is only really supposed to apply to urban areas and other census areas, we're going to get that applied to all rural areas. And having reviewed what you provided to us with water as a resource, I think what we're doing is consistent with the direction of the commissioners in terms of water as a resource. But I'm always, and so I'm going to vote for it in favor of that, although I think it raises a lot of extra costs and expense in the rural areas that may not be necessary. But I'm just hoping that somebody is taking what we're doing in Kitsap in terms of applying stormwater management and saying, hey, wait, this, you ask about how we're handling Hearst issues? Look at what we're doing in terms of applying all the stormwater effort in the rural areas. So just a question to staff first, confirm that, yeah, we've gone beyond what's required by the NTPDES permit, but we're doing it because in Kitsap, we've made a policy decision to go beyond what's required and do what we think is right for the resource. Would that be a fair characterization?
From my perspective, I think that's a fair summary. Mr. Tucker, do you want to chime in here, sir?
I can chime in, but I would say it's a pretty accurate summary as well.
As well as I want to note, as part of our response to comments, again, the evolution of water as a resource, as well as evolution of the NPDES permit requirements, the design manual has changed over time through various updates, et cetera. So I think we cited a provision as part of the design manual, even though when water as a resource was adopted originally in 2008 and reaffirmed in 2016, that water as a resource was ahead of its time, per se, compared to the ecology manual. But as the ecology manual and the permit has been significantly updated through ecology's own public process when it comes to developing modifications to that permit, as well as rulemaking on the design, there is a public opportunity to engage them, which we try to as a county as well, on what those implications may be. But as that ecology manual is a manual, evolved over time, water as a resource and what ecology is stating is getting closer and closer aligned, and there's a point where we can't go back and reverse what we've done. So that's the challenge that we're in, as well as fully recognizing the comments associated with housing affordability. Housing affordability is a multifaceted issue, but many of those things, including what the Department of Human Resource and the City of Bremerton concluded in their March of this year housing affordability report, while there's many things not missing in that, it does recognize the number of units that we need to get online at all affordability housing ranges by 2036. So it noted by 2036, we need at least 25,000 new units of all price ranges to accommodate the housing need here in Kitsap. But on average, cities as well as the county only issue maybe 500, a little north of 500 permits per year. So there is a significant lag in that. That report also noted and focused, not necessarily focusing on changing of rules or laws that are passed through to local jurisdictions, not just Kitsap County and Washington State. That report noted recommendations to focus on acquiring additional funding to create more subsidized housing, as well as what falls in the Department of Community Development's wheelhouse. For example, there were some suggestions on upzoning. Well, upzoning on its face does not provide affordable housing. Upzoning by transit centers does not on its face provide affordable housing. So what other tools and metrics are necessary to move that forward? With that said, I think the director, REMAC, outlined several efforts to work within the laws of trying to find affordable housing, but that also didn't include efforts to combat and reform some of those laws. For example, we are actively working on GMA reform committees to address issues that we've experienced and seek practical changes to GMA with many other partners, and that includes a lot of different state associations, interested parties, and stakeholders. We participate through our Washington State Association of Counties in particular, but we are seeking reforms through that process and seeking that through an avenue in which we will create change. And to work through that through many different efforts. Another effort he cited is another ecology permit that Mr. Tucker knows very well, that ecology is setting up guidelines for a new general permit for wastewater treatment plants. And what that impact may be when we are directed to provide and size urban growth areas to meet population demands. However, if those certain treatment plants exceed a certain nitrogen nutrient cap that's set by ecology, what does that really mean? And what's the practicality of implementing said state mandated comprehensive plan? So we go to the source and try to deal and tackle with that. There's several committees on that effort that we're trying to do. But again, we focus on where the biggest impact may be to affect that change versus trying to change those laws at a local level.
Okay, any other comments? Commissioner Beam.
Might have to mute unmute yourself.
I'm doing it myself. Good grief. I'm muted telling him to unmute himself. Commissioner Beam, if you can unmute. Thank you.
On the subject of this, I was very upset with this concept of ratcheting requirements, that once a requirement is written, it can never be taken back. What's not clear to me is this a big deal or not? You know, what are the requirements that we've got in our proposals that are in excess of state? But secondly, how big a difference is it? Is it something that's worth arguing about? And to get to your point, you know, how do we reclaim it if it is? One of the big issues that struck me is the Stormwater Design Manual goes to rural areas outside of the census in the urban areas, and that's got to have a huge factor in cost and affordability and how we get anything developed in the rural areas. That is beyond the requirements of the state, but we can't back out of that?
Well, it's consistent with the current adopted policy as water as a resource. So part of the comments, again, just going to Mr. Fuhrer's comments, he highlighted threshold discharge areas as well as expanding applicability to the rural areas. That's in addition to our permit requirements, as well as the current proposed ecology manual for Western Washington. So to modify that, the board has to not only rescind their policy, but we also have to amend our comprehensive plan in which this policy is referenced. So there's other checkpoints that we have to do to modify that local regulation. And just, for example, I've heard many comments over the years, why don't you just adopt the stormwater manual for ecology?
I'm not proposing that. What I'm proposing is that we be informed of where we are different and which of these things are big issues that are worth fighting over.
But I think the two areas that we have highlighted, again, threshold discharge areas and applicability to the rural areas, in addition to the minimum requirements ecology is asking for as part of our compliance with the MPDS permit, as well as the Western Washington Design Manual.
And is that worth fighting over? And do we have a program to fight over?
I think some of the commentary is this, why are we doing this? And this costs extra money for those who live in the rural area. If you take into consideration Growth Management Act and the whole purpose of shifting growth into the urban area versus the rural and encouraging that, I think there's a good debate associated with that. And if there's comments with the Planning Commission, and one option that this body does have available to rules of procedure is a minority report. And that needs to be applicable to those who did not agree or voted no on a proposed amendment. That minority report will need to be drafted by those and signed by those who disagreed or voted no on a proposed amendment and needed to be attached to that findings of fact. If that's something members would like the commissioners to consider and ask them to seek revisions to their water as a resource, that will definitely be passed on to the commissioners as part of their deliberation and decision-making process. But with that said, for the board to rescind that, we will need guidance from them to modify the comprehensive plan, which, as everyone knows here, has once a year shot to amend and needs to be on their docket.
Okay, Commissioner Beam, continue.
How does the county propose to measure the effectiveness of this stormwater program? What are we going to measure? How are we going to monitor it? Are we going to report to anything? How do we figure out that this is an effective program before the next change comes up?
Ms. Perdue, do you want to talk about our monitoring programs within the stormwater utility as part of our permit requirements?
Sure, absolutely. This is Michelle Perdue. I'm the stormwater program manager for the county. That's actually a part of the NPDES permit requirement. Section S8 is monitoring and assessment. And basically the gist of that is it requires us to take a look at what we're doing, measure the effectiveness of our actions, and apply adaptive management applicable to that. So as part of the ways that we do that, we participate in a couple of regional programs through ecology. The status and trends monitoring program through the regional SAM program. We also participate in the effectiveness and source identification regional programs on a more local basis. Kitsap County Public Works and our partners in Clean Water Kitsap also conduct some monitoring to assess the health of streams and marine waters to try to determine if our efforts have been successful. We do that in a lot of different ways. We look at the habitat and complexity of streams. We look at levels of pollutants in marine mussels. We look at diversity and levels of stream bugs, aquatic insects, and we look at intensity of stream flows during storms. So when we put all of those pieces together, we have a picture of how our efforts through implementing our permit and our programs affect water quality in Kitsap.
And is that published someplace?
Yeah, in multiple different places. So that is online on kitsap.gov. You can find it in our stormwater. We've got a couple of documents there. We also have Kitsap Public Utility District publishes their annual water quality report. It's got a lot of those metrics and reports out on there. That would be a really good document for you to take a look at and see just visually what the effectiveness of our actions have been.
Okay, any other comments? Commissioner Beam.
One of the things I was looking for in your reports was evidence of public participation being more than just an administrative burden. Three major stakeholders, the Association of Realtors, the Builders Association, and the Association of Property Owners, made several comments. Staff's response was 31 no changes, one sentence change, and one maybe. How does that reflect active public participation?
Well, to go back to our work studies, as part of this effort, we did engage early and often with the engineering community. Most of those are represented by the Kitsap Building Association, which they assigned Bernie Kenworthy to assist on the drafting of the first draft that went out to public review. The first draft was made available to the public in March of this year, and I want to say it had at least 2 months worth of opportunity for those to comment or ask questions. In addition to a second draft was released moving forward and additional comment and testimony was provided that guided that. A lot of the responses you see as part of the public comment matrix, again, is responding to here's our minimum requirements to meet our permit threshold, as well as this is in, noted in the design manual for Western Washington that has already been approved and required by Ecology to be compliant with that NPDES permit, as well as when one is seeking for modification at, in addition, why go beyond Ecology? We cited existing policies and procedures. So we encourage, we work and educate with all different groups around Kitsap County, but part of that is also sharing information on why rules are the way they are, as well as where is the appropriate avenue to seek reform. And what we strongly encourage any association or any interested party is to not only advocate at a local level, but to work with their state affiliate or to work as an interested and concerned citizen where these rules are being developed as well as modified before they take into effect. So for example, the Kitsap Realtors Association, there is a state association in which they work with often that does advocate at a legislative level as well as rulemaking level. I encourage them to interact with their state affiliate as well as interact with us, contact us, ask us questions. Why is this where it is and where can I provide comments and feedback? And we're happy to provide that.
Yeah, but I was looking for evidence that we actually did something with the comment.
Well, I think it's a point of agree to disagree. We understand where those comments are coming from, but here's the response. We have to be compliant with our NPDES permit as well as the Western Washington manual. In addition to, we've identified the areas in which local policy, water as a resource, takes it even further. And here is the response on how to mend and change that, which requires legislative action by the Board of County Commissioners to do so. So it's existing policy today. It has not been rescinded. So it is within the sideboards that we are working within.
Okay. Any other comments? One more time. Any other discussion or comments about Title 12? Okay, I have a couple, although the issues have already been addressed. Commissioner Shattuck mentioned it and staff has responded. Angie referenced it too. But it is something that's troubling to me with the NPDES permit. And I think it was originally referenced by staff in a response to comment to one of the organizations, I believe it was the KBA. And that's the general concept that as we go through these cycles, like we do with comprehensive plan amendments, et cetera, and we're on this 4-year cycle with the manual. And of course, Department of Ecology goes through a lengthy process like Kitsap does. So they're started a few years ago. And as Angie mentioned too, statewide organizations can participate in that process. A lot of stakeholder groups do. But the troubling issue to me is a local versus state versus federal authority. This concept that you can't adjust your prior restrictions in your manual or in your title, because you have new technology that comes along, new information, it's informative over time. And it's concerning because if you adopt something restrictive right now, in your next process, the new staff and commissioners may not, under this criteria from Department of Ecology or from the permit itself, cannot reverse something more restrictive. So if this is your benchmark and you've adopted something more restrictive, you can't come back part way. And that's troubling to me. And then the other issue too, and we didn't get real deep into it, but you know, the water as the resource was adopted prior to my time. And I understand that that's a policy adopted over a decade ago, reaffirmed by the county commissioners, et cetera. But again, the original development of this entire process and permitting was for suburban and urban areas. And how does that apply to rural? And I definitely understand the challenges and the problems and subdivisions and major areas like Edgewater Estates out by Low Fall and Miller Bay Estates and those kinds of places. But we still have a lot of areas in Central District in particular and in South where you know the vast majority of the parcels are above 1 acre in size. So it is a one size fits all. Yes, it's great for the environment, but as others have testified, projects that used to cost, some of them are tenfold cost, not to mention project delays, et cetera. So how do you balance that and still protect the environment? So that's troubling to me, and I don't know how that gets addressed today. Probably doesn't. but it's certainly one criteria I think about when I'm deciding my own individual vote. And then a final issue was the liability. I wanted to get some clarification on that. So the staff report mentions that there are some significant changes to the minimum requirements and design guidance. And then there were minor updates or housekeeping edits for consistency to Title 12. And later in, I want to reference, it says local agencies deviating significantly from established standards could increase liability for the county if the result was a perceived infrastructure defect or hazard. I'm wondering if you're aware of any litigation in Washington, or for that matter, anywhere across the country, where jurisdictions have been found liable because they adopt something, either the minimum required or because they're not considering their local circumstances, countywide planning policies, regional government decisions. I guess what I'm getting at is if I could get any guidance that would help inform me about the potential, because I'm concerned about the liability to the county. If you were to not adopt, or for example, if the county commission were to say, we're not going to make any changes, even in spite of the fact that the State Department of Ecology has made changes to the manual, you know, similar to the sheriff saying, well, thanks state, I appreciate your mask rule, but I'm not going to enforce it. Well, yeah, that's something to be sorted out in courts, but you don't know what the outcome may be. So for me, I am concerned about what the liability could be to the county if there were pushback from Kitsap County and not adopting the required recommendations. And I asked the staff at a previous meeting, what percentage of these requirements that are built into Title 12 and the manual are mandated? And Dave Tucker gave an approximate 90% mandatory, about 10% flexible. And although at the time I suggested, geez, I'd like to identify what those 10% are, and I got a general guidance from him, and Angie mentioned those two areas again today, I didn't want to burden the staff with having to go through the last year's worth of material to point out to me what is in that 10% specifically. Sorry, I know that was long-winded, but if you can give me any guidance on the liability issue, I'd appreciate it.
Commissioner, this is Dave Tucker. The liability issue I'm most familiar with is during one of the iterations, I believe it was in 2010 iteration of the permit, Clark County decided not to adopt the ecology standard, and they adopted a different standard. And in Clark County, they have to adopt it countywide. It's a little bit different. They're a larger jurisdiction, but it's the same principle. They were sued in federal court by a third party. They lost. Essentially, the court found that they were required to comply with the permit, and they didn't. So what happened with Clark County is, unfortunately, it took a number of years to get to the point where they lost. The judge made the county go back and mitigate the difference between what their standard was and what the ecology standard was, and so the public had to pay for that. I don't know exactly how much that was, but it was a pretty big blow to Clark County. So that's the most obvious case in which a county or a jurisdiction has been held liable for not, you know, complying with a permit condition. Because it's a federal law, anybody anywhere in the United States can sue a jurisdiction under federal court. And we have been sued before. It hasn't ever gone to court, but there's been cases where we've had to deal with it as well. So it can be pretty time consuming in the minimum. In the maximum, it can end up costing the public a lot of money, because we'll have to go through and mitigate for private development that wasn't mitigated in accordance with the manual, if that makes sense to you.
Mr. Tucker, was there something in more recent time frame in Snohomish, Puget Sound Keepers, I want to think, just again, tangentially reading articles and stuff, but I defer to you.
I'm not familiar with it. The Clark County one was the biggest one that's happened so far, because they essentially said, we're not going to do it, and they ended up losing federal court. So.
Great, thank you. Without getting into all the details, do you happen to know the extent of the damages that were assessed by the court? So, for example, to go back and retroactively address projects that have been approved, obviously some of those have gone in. Did they have to go in and I guess the best description is retrofit, bring it to the current standards? And did the county, more importantly, did the county have to pay it? Or was some of the cost?
Yeah, the county had to pay it through their stormwater. They have a stormwater program similar to ours. And so they used those funds to go in and not on the private property, but within the public sector, go in and put in some regional facilities and some other things to bridge the gap between what the development community was required to do under the code and manual that Clark had adopted versus what was required under the permit. Exactly how much money that was and how it was done, you know, I'd have to, you know, talk to them. I don't know the details.
Okay, great. That was perfect. Thank you. Any other comments? Okay, I don't see any hands raised or anything. Quick, so I know when we get to the next agenda item by our rules of procedure, we have to have unanimous approval to consider findings of fact. Tonight, we have three commissioners absent, and I'm trying to remember, I know there's five different criteria that require, for example, comprehensive plan approval associated things require a majority of the commission, not the commissioners present, which would be 5 votes. So does this fall under the application of majority of those present, which if we had 6, we need at least 4 affirmative votes to approve? Is that correct, clerk and staff?
I'm searching through the rules of procedure. If you know off the top of your head, Amanda, please chime in.
I was going to do it. I was afraid I'd...
In the past, it has to be a majority of the full commission. So you have to have 5 votes. So 4 votes won't pass your motion.
And the stormwater
specific to the legislative actions, like for the comp plan, but I can check since this is the code.
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind, I didn't dare put it on my screen. I was afraid I was going to close out the whole thing.
Yeah, I'm skimming through it right now.
And I just read it earlier today, several sections, but that particular one, I think there's several criteria that require a majority of the commission, not a majority of those present.
Right. That was what we dealt with when we were approving the comprehensive plan last, was that, yeah, if you didn't have a 5 votes, affirmative votes, then it didn't pass.
So I'm looking at the reestablishing ordinance of the Planning Commission meetings and quorum section. 5 members of the Planning Commission shall constitute a quorum. All actions of the Planning Commission shall be determined by a majority vote at a meeting at which a quorum is present. In accordance of Chapter 3670 RCW, as it now exists or is herein after amended, the Planning Commission recommendation regarding the comprehensive plan amendments, or development regulations, such as what is before you, shall be by affirmative vote of not less than a majority of the total members of the Planning Commission.
So okay, great. So it would be 5. Okay, great. Thank you. Appreciate your finding it. Okay, we're ready to vote on any further discussion. If not, well, Alan, did you have something?
Voting on the title, not on findings of fact.
Correct.
Correct.
Yeah, just on the title. We'll do a voice vote on this one, but if there's division and I can't see everybody, then we'll do a roll call and I'll call the roll and we'll do yays and nays. Okay, so all those in favor of approving Title 12 as presented by the staff, signify by saying aye and raising your hand.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, looks like unanimous. Okay, now we can move to the stormwater design manual. Is there a motion?
I move with we approve the stormwater manual as presented and amended by staff.
Clarification, Commissioner Shattuck, does that include the corrections memo?
Yes, it would include the corrections memo.
Okay, we have a motion to approve the manual as presented and amended by staff, including the corrections memo. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, second by Commissioner Phillips. Now, discussion. Commissioner Svensson.
Mr. Chairman, while I did miss the last 2 meetings, I have reviewed the minutes and the various documents in the record and the comments, and I'm, unless there's an objection, I'm anticipating voting on this matter this evening.
Okay.
If that's appropriate.
Right. Okay, any other comments? Commissioner Shattuck.
I just want to kind of go back and I think we're in deliberations. That's what we're doing now. Sure. And, you know, one of the things I've always been so frustrated about are state mandates that don't fit Kitsap very well. You know, we've got a growth management mandate for connecting all our urban areas up to sewers and taking perfectly good water and putting it into the Sound, as opposed to looking to better systems. And so I really have struggled with the fact that we've applied the stormwater manual outside of where it has to be. But on the other hand, I think I've got to come back and say, wait a minute, we as a community with our water as a resource have said, hey, there's something special about Kitsap in terms of water management, and that's what we rely on underground water to nourish us. We got to have it. And so although I have real frustration personally about it, I can see as a community that we've made a decision that we're unique, that this is something special about Kitsap County. And although we're not meeting the minimum standards, and it may cost more, I accept that. It may affect affordable housing, that as a community with the amendment or the additional approval in 2016 of water as a resource, that I think it's important that until our community has said, no, we're going to trade that protection of the resource for these other values, that I think it's important to support what staff has done in terms of expanding. That's the biggest issue to me is putting this areas that doesn't belong. So in terms of deliberations, although I have real concerns, I think Commissioner Beam has done a good job of expressing the concerns I have, but I'll be voting for it given that that community value that I've seen adopted.
Great, thank you. Any other discussion? Going once, going twice. Commissioner Phillips, did you have something?
No.
Oh, sorry, okay. I just saw your screen lit up, so I wasn't sure. Okay. Okay, then we'll vote. All those in favor of approving the motion to adopt the stormwater design manual as presented and amended by staff, including the correction, signify by saying aye and raising your hand. And raise your hand, please.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. And all those opposed? Any abstentions? And motion carries. Okay.
Thank you, commissioners.
Now, sorry, I've got too many papers. Let's see. So in between the two, we'll move to the findings of fact, but first we're going to transition to item H, 2019 Planning Commission Annual Report. Hey, staff.
So commissioners, this is Dave Ward with the Department of Community Development. Did everybody receive the draft copy of the 2019 annual report from the Kitsap County Planning Commission?
Yes.
Okay, so as you know from previous years, the Planning Commission produces an annual report, usually drafted by staff and then reviewed, edited, and approved by the Planning Commission. Amanda did all the heavy lifting on the annual report for 2019. We do apologize for how late this is in the year. We usually try to do this earlier in the spring. But all of the challenges that Amanda has been working with, trying to set up video conferences and figuring out what meets the Open Public Meeting Act and setting up Zoom for everybody and getting everybody up to speed has definitely slowed some things down, and this was one of them. So this annual report is a fairly simple report. For the most part, it provides a brief introduction, a list of who the Planning Commission members were for the report period, key actions taken during the calendar year, and then a chronological summary of key topics and decisions that were made. These are all drawn directly out of the meeting minutes. So this does reinforce the notion that having good meeting minutes is important, because this is one thing that we use it for, is to draft this annual report. And then this annual report is used as a stepping stone for a subsequent discussion between the Planning Commission members and the Board of County Commissioners. So as soon as the Planning Commission is satisfied with the report and its context, then we will work to set up a joint meeting between the commission and the board. So with that, I will turn it back over to the chair, and you should all have the draft report in front of you. And if you have any comments, questions, we can take notes and we can provide a revised copy at a subsequent meeting for adoption.
Great. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it. The work, and Amanda as well. That rules procedure require that we approve it. Is there a motion to approve the annual report of 2019 as presented? Commissioner Phillips?
Yeah. Move to approve the report as presented.
Okay. And Commissioner Svensson, are you second? We're all having problems with muting tonight.
Yes. I second.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Okay, sorry. That's okay. I'm doing it too. Discussion. Comments? I will mention one thing that I noted looking at it. Again, when I get something like this, I look at the audience. So I think it's very helpful to somebody that grabs it to look at it and see, geez, what transpired during the course of the year. So obviously the Board of County Commissioners is the audience, members of the public, et cetera. One thing, and I know this is probably too big of a challenge to track. Obviously you can't track phone calls people make, all the different letters and emails that go back and forth. But one weakness I see with the report is it doesn't, to a person looking at the report itself, it minimizes how much public involvement we have with members of the public. Again, can't track phone calls and that type of thing. But I'll give you an example. On the high-risk secured facilities, we had a lot of written commentary. We had a lot of people testifying at public meetings. It may not have been during the public hearing, but it certainly was during general public comment. I mean, we had attorneys there presenting, both sides, neighbors, et cetera. So it was very well attended and a lot of public participation. But if you look at the report, of course, you see the dates, the work study, the hearing, and then there's only a reference that just says one public comment heard. And that is accurate because that's what transpired at the public hearing. But it's missing out on all the public participation leading up to it, if that makes sense. And I know it's not required in a report. I'm not necessarily suggesting at this time that we add it. It's just something to keep in mind if there were a simple way to track and give a highlight a little more of the public participation without somebody getting the impression that, for example, we were on 5G. We've got all sorts of testimony on 5G and participation from the major wireless carriers, et cetera. But if you just go by the public hearing, Timber Harvest too, Timber Coat. Same thing.
I think that's a fair comment. And what I would suggest is perhaps moving forward in subsequent reviews, what we could do is, it is a little bit more work, but it doesn't seem arduous to me, to identify how many public comments in aggregate for each of those issues were processed. Mm-hmm. So it goes beyond, so it could conceivably go beyond how many were heard at a particular hearing to how many public comments were made for that specific topic.
Yeah, and like I said, if it's too much of an administrative chore to have to track that and compile all that information, there could be different levels of assessing that too. I mean, even some kind of a criteria where you just reference, you know, for example, one public comment heard extensive written comment, or, you know, something that's a, because obviously even in the summary, you don't have a lot of space, but you, there could be some reference that there was something in addition to one person testifying at the public hearing.
Yeah, I think as long as we can see it coming and that there's a desire for that kind of a quantification of the public comment in a broader sense beyond what was in the hearing, as long as we can see that coming, we can make note of that. And I don't see that as a big thing to add to this. One thing that I would suggest for this particular report is, you know, the report, at least as I see it, is in part a catalyst for discussion with the board. And, you know, I would recommend that you bring that up with the Board of County Commissioners as well, that there is a lot of public input that comes into the Planning Commission beyond just the hearings.
Great, thank you. Any other discussion? Commissioner Beam.
Would it be appropriate just to have a link back to the files for what the comments were? Can you put a hyperlink in there? Or consider doing that? Would that help?
We could consider it. I don't know how much work that would take. We would have to investigate that.
How it would read
without the rest of the context for the issue, that's something we would have to think about. You know, we do keep the web comments open for a certain period of time, certainly within a year of the public comment period and the adoption of whatever the issue is. So we can look into the logistics of that.
And isn't it also true that the commissioners are well aware of some of these issues because they ultimately had to decide on these issues? So
yes, that's correct.
It's not like we're in the dark telling somebody that has no clue what happened.
That's correct. And the Board of County Commissioners do review all of the public comment that the Planning Commission receives, in addition to what they receive through the public comment period and hearing that they conduct as well. So you're correct that they're not in the dark on the matter. But to Commissioner Eliason's comment, the thinking about audiences, this report potentially has a readership that is somewhat greater than the Board of County Commissioners. I don't know off the top of my head what that readership is and how many members of the public downloaded off the website. But you know, it might be enlightening for other readers to be able to see just how many comments the Planning Commission processes on an annual basis, because I do agree that it is substantial.
Great. Any other comments?
I suggest an easy fix for this would be most of the items that come before the Planning Commission now include comment matrices or in a matrix, so it's easy to count. I could include a count of all the public comments received that's presented to you that would at least give an indication of a number, as opposed to a link to look at them. But if they were to look back and say, wow, there was, you know, 300 comments on this topic, then they might be able to go back and look for some more, click through the meetings and look for minutes or see what they could find there.
That'd be great. Commissioner Beam?
Also, you might want to do something with, right now you've got a date, what the subject was, and something that says comments. You might want to link the communications facility code update. You might link it to that whatever the end product was, so that somebody would say, hey, last year we looked at this, how can I easily find it? You might be able to go to here, click a link, and get there.
Okay, any other comments? Okay, hearing none, we have a motion to approve the 2019 annual report. All those in favor signify by saying aye and raising your hand, please.
Aye.
All those opposed? And any abstentions?
I wasn't here.
Okay, one abstention. Okay, motion carries.
Thank you, commissioners.
Great, thank you. Okay, item I, findings of fact, stormwater design manual update.
Well, Commissioners, again, for the record, Angie Silva, Department of Community Development. As part of your packet materials for a previous agenda item on the deliberations was draft findings of fact. Following those deliberations, as Mr. Ward was speaking, I did make some modifications I'm happy to share on the screen, especially as it relates to some minor typos, but also reflecting the approval of the corrections memo. So I want to show that to the Planning Commission before we move forward, if that's okay with the Chair and Commissioners.
Please proceed.
Oh, Ms. Amanda says I host disabled participant screen sharing.
All right, let me work on that real quick.
If not, I can email it to you real quick, if that's the faster solution.
Yeah, if you don't mind, why don't you go ahead and email that, Angie?
Okay. Apologize, Commissioners, just hold on for 1 second. Welcome to the virtual world.
And Angie, I'm assuming you're including the ones I emailed to you?
That is correct. I wanted to bring those up as part of the public meeting that's viewable, as well as opportunity for other planning commissioners to chime in as well.
Great, thanks.
Ms. Amanda, it should be on your way or already with you.
And have to play with that.
Thank you, Amanda. So if you could just scroll to the top so I can, if okay with the commission, I'll just scroll through and just highlight and note any changes to the document that was provided to you earlier. You can scroll all the way to the top, just so we get it on record. So at the top of the heading, I deleted draft findings of fact, as this will be formal consideration. I'm just scrolling past page one there, Ms. Amanda. Page two, line item 11, I accidentally left off my full department name, development. So that is included in red line strikeout. Thank you for catching that, Commissioner. Line item 13, removal of the apostrophe for the on June 9th. That's section 13 of the findings, Ms. Amanda. Section 13 on June 9th, 2020, the departments, remove apostrophe. Just scrolling down on page three, again, section seven, instead of work study, a regular meeting was another comment received. And more specifically and substantively on the recommendation after deliberations earlier in the meeting, I just clarified the dates of the title changes that were before and subject to deliberation, as well as it relates to the stormwater design manual, noted the date, but also further amended to include changes reflected in the corrections memo dated July 14th.
Okay. And then could you go to, I had the same ones, number eight. I missed on number eight. Let me see.
Oh, I did get rid of that apostrophe. I apologize. Okay. I did not highlight it.
Okay, no problem. Great. Any other corrections? Okay, hearing none. I can't see everybody, so if, okay, perfect.
I have a question, not a...
Oh, I'm sorry. We haven't had a motion, correct? We need to move to approve.
That's correct.
Yeah, it's just been presented by staff. So if we could, sorry, Commissioner Beam, to interrupt. If we could have a motion to approve in a second, then we'll open up for discussion. Do you have your hand, Commissioner Shattuck?
Just to make sure, I think we have to waive the rules to proceed to the findings, fact, conclusion.
Yeah, to suspend the order. Right, okay. That's correct. Yeah, we'll have two motions. One. Yeah.
So that we suspend the rules and that we approve the findings of fact as presented by staff this evening.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and second to suspend the rules and approve the findings of fact at this meeting. And we'll open it to discussion. And then again, keep in mind, this has to be a unanimous vote under the rules of procedure. Okay, any discussion? And you're speaking just to the first, this motion, not the, to approve the document, just to suspend the rules. Commissioner Beam?
Okay, that's what I was trying to figure out. This is...
Yeah, two motions. The first one that's before us right now is just to suspend the rules so that we can adopt it at this meeting, and it requires unanimous vote.
Is there an urgency to do that?
I'd say that question's in order. Staff, do you want to respond, please?
We don't have to, again, adopt the findings. In fact, we've advertised for this. We are trying to set up very hard work study sessions, as well as potentially a public hearing in August for the use table. So that's a consideration and whether or not you want to consider the time on in August to take this. But considering that the commission has already deliberated on the action, and this is just the formal written findings that would get passed to the the Board of County Commissioners, I defer to you. I can come back in August. I'm happy to. But if the commission would like to tackle this today, we can do that right now.
Okay, Commissioner Beam.
Here's my thought process, is that this is our formal communications to the Board of Commissioners. We've had a significant discussion tonight about ratcheting rules and making things more strict than the state code. Shouldn't we have something in there that expresses that opinion to the board? And if so, I think we need time to consider what that language is.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, that was discussed in deliberation, but that wasn't part of any motion to approve. Right.
I'm just saying the findings of fact is our means of communication to the board. And maybe we don't care, that's fine. But if we do want to send something to the board, this seems to me to be a nice vehicle to do that.
And I think one of the things to consider about the findings of fact, again, it's factual, it's not opinion based. So if there's a minority vote opinion as part of the deliberations, that would be formally attached to the findings of fact that would be signed by any of the commissioners who had the minority vote. And that is transmitted along with the findings of fact of the full commission. As this moves forward to the Board of County Commissioner process, as citizens of Kitsap County, individual commissioners, again, not representing the whole commission, but individual commissioners are more than welcome to provide feedback and testimony as part of that process moving forward. I would ask to be careful that it's not representative of the entire commission, only your individual perspective.
I was just searching for a communication path and a medium, and this may or may not be it.
Understand, sir.
Well, I think we have a communication path, and that's the minutes. And so to the extent there was a discussion and a review, you know, that's there. But to put in the findings of fact something we didn't vote on, something that, you know, I may have felt differently about but didn't want to deem it important enough to discuss or review, it doesn't mean I agreed with the point and doesn't mean it should be in the findings of fact, unless, again, there was a vote. So I think you're right, Commissioner Beam. I think we do need to have a mechanism to communicate, but I think that's better than minutes for those kinds of comments rather than...
That was my question.
Okay. Any more discussion about the motion? Okay, all those in favor of suspending the rules and considering the findings of fact on the Stormwater Design Manual update in Title 12, signify by saying aye.
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 Any in opposition? Any abstentions? I saw everybody. It's unanimous. Okay. Now we'll go ahead and entertain a motion to approve the findings of fact as presented.
Move to approve the findings of facts as amended.
Okay. Amended, correct. Yeah. So the motion to approve the findings of fact as amended. Is there a second?
I second.
Okay. Motion second to approve the findings of fact as amended. Discussion. So Commissioner Beam, is this something that you would consider addressing your comments either as an individual to the commissioners at their meeting, or is it something that you would pursue doing a minority report? Are you looking to get a consensus or a majority opinion of those of us that voted in favor, which we did, to also transmit along with it? Keeping in mind the comments Commissioner Shattuck made about the original deliberation of vote.
I understand, and if that's the right place to put it, that's the right place to put it. I just thought if we wanted to put a communications thing in, we would need time to talk about what that would be. If we choose that's not the right medium, then I'm fine.
Any other discussion? Okay. Yeah, that's something I'd be interested in joining either a minority or a majority of the commissioners about. We'd have to discuss how we transmit that, the appropriate means of doing it. But this was a very troubling vote to me, both of them, not so much in Title 12 and, you know, the definitions and some of the policies, but the manual itself, in consideration of the, you know, the interest groups and the feedback we got. And I very much appreciate the staff's report. I know there have been some discussion about the matrix and having the documents and all that, but we eventually got all those documents. And I know the rest of you did too. I went through all them and considered all that in my decision making. I listened to everybody tonight, which I thought you guys all made great comments about it, and you actually persuaded me in the deliberation process. And that's what we're supposed to be doing, is bringing our individual positions to the deliberation. And I can tell from my vote, it had an effect, and as well as, you know, the three major issues that I brought forward. And at some point, I would like to address that with the commissioners. And I know Commissioner Gelder is very much involved at the state level. And it's something I would, and staff has told me outside of these meetings, you know, some of these issues that, for example, that other groups mentioned need to be addressed at the state level. And even in the prior process with Department of Ecology, and that's where people need to be directed, especially when they want to reinvent the wheel and overturn GMA and things that are really beyond the Planning Commission scope at this point. So, but if I could find some way to address the permit itself, the countywide application and the liability, I might join on to that. Okay, any other discussion?
But part of your having a minority report means that somebody needed to vote against it.
Right. I would assume that. I was going to pose that to staff. But the presumption is that you voted against it. But I think you can, like, for example, Supreme Court has rulings all the time where you might be in the majority vote, but there's several opinions written about it, and they came to that conclusion for different reasons. So we need to find a mechanism, because I don't want the commissioners to think that my vote was an enthusiastic yes on stormwater, because it's not. And I think we heard that from Commissioner Shattuck and Commissioner Beam as well. So I wouldn't want anybody jumping to the final line and saying, oh, unanimous vote, full speed ahead. That's not the case. So we need to find the mechanism, but I understand what you're saying too, because I would not personally want to attach a minority report unless it was the only means to do it, because I voted in the majority. But if there was some means of clarifying that in the form of an opinion, then I would.
Thank you, commissioners, for as well as Commissioner Phillips, for clarifying the minority report. So part of the Planning Commission's rule of procedures for minority reports, again, to clarify, I'll just read verbatim so everybody's on the same page. A planning commissioner whose vote was in the minority may submit a minority report briefly explaining their position to be forwarded to the Board of County Commissioners for consideration. Minority reports must be attached to the findings of the Planning Commission as a minority report and signed by planning commissioners participating in the minority report. So again, goes back to the deliberations as well as the vote. I think a comment from Commissioner Shattuck about the meeting minutes is an excellent avenue, and we do forward that to the commissioners, because I know earlier in the meeting we did have a good debate about how much should we put in that. The more information you put in into that and the back and forth dialogue as well as discussion helps inform and educate the Board of County Commissioners on the perspectives of each planning commission during that deliberative process. So happy to forward the minutes when available, but also as part of our regular updates, I'm more than happy to indicate, yes, the Planning Commission did recommend moving forward, but here are some of the considerations and part of the testimony as well. So I'm more than happy, and professionally, I would love not to have to update the stormwater code every so many years. So I don't think we're necessarily too far from desires there. So I'm happy to convey that respectfully, as well as noting a number of the dialogue that was reflected here.
Right. And I will note, thank you to everybody who voted in the affirmative, because if two of us would have voted no, that means you wouldn't have had the five votes to approve it. So, and the other thing is, if the I wasn't thinking minority report, but if I did, and that was the only recourse, then I could bring it up, the motion for reconsideration, and change my vote too. I mean, there's lots of ways to skin the cat, but I think Angie's got the best way to handle it. And I know in the briefings, I've attended some of those by video, and I think our staff does a great job given a holistic approach to how this got started, where we are, and, you know, the options to the commissioners to move forward. So any other discussion about the motion? Okay, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. All those opposed? Okay, motion carries. I hope we didn't vote twice. I'm tired out. Let's see.
Thank you, commissioners. I'll forward a clean copy to the clerk for the chair's signature.
Thank you, commissioners.
Clerk, we didn't vote twice, did we?
Good. I always figure it's better to vote twice than
than not to do it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I don't have an excuse. I was at a Bainbridge Island Council meeting the other day that was 5.5 hours, and we're not that far into it. And they did a good job to the end, so I'm going to pick it up a little bit. Okay, item J for the good of the order. Any comments by commissioners or staff?
Now, will there be a special meeting prior to August 18th?
And what was the kind of count? Another element to not only ensuring, because again, when there's only one meeting scheduled for August, is that we wanted to have a work study, lights it off, work study prior to have a public hearing on the use table, as well as all the various associated documents. Our goal is to get public hearing ready, everything out the door by August 3rd. If we cannot make that timeline, then everything shifts, but there's other competing issues that we need to accommodate, as well as number one, do we have enough planning commissioners available to have a quorum and have a work study on the various documents and elements we have not covered with you? So just as some context as we're trying to gear up and move forward, one element is, as the Planning Commission knows, in previous months, they took action on Port Gamble amendments to the zoning code. Because we shifted uses around and definitions around, we are dang certain we want to make sure that we respect that previous process that was held not too long ago and make sure it's consistent with all the various stakeholders that participated. So that's checking in with not only no longer Pope Resources, but I forget what their new company name is, the tribal entities, as well as the various stakeholders that provided testimony. We want to make sure that that is in line with their expectation and understanding. So those things take time. So we're trying our hardest to make an August 3rd public document release.
We did have six planning commissioners confirm that they could attend. So six, okay. And the other three haven't responded. That they could not. I just haven't had a response yet.
Amanda was, I was one of the non-responses, I believe. So, and I can make it, so.
Okay.
Great. Fantastic.
I don't know where anybody's going during this time period.
Commissioner Beam.
Quick question on process. How can we see the public and who's attending? I've got a nice screen here with all of us, but I have no idea if there's anybody in the public even here.
So down towards the bottom of your screen, you should see participants, and then that will pull up a pane along the right-hand side that'll list panelists.
But that's all us. I don't see any public.
Panelists should be on the left-hand side, and attendees is on the right. If you click on attendees, you'll see, well, Sean was originally over there, and then BCAT staff. So that's where all of your actual attendees from the public will be.
So there were no attendees for this event?
We had a few others that were on here, but I believe they were all staff. We had Mr. Tucker, Mr. Ward joined this way, but I didn't have anyone from the public outside of BCAT for this meeting. Like at the last meeting, we had several. But that's how you can see the participants, panelists versus attendees. Testimony too. Right, yeah. And occasionally we do have some that listen in. But yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Sure.
Great. A couple quick things. And we can probably sort that out, the agenda setting meeting. But does anybody have a preference? Obviously, I asked the staff about the commissioners' meetings. They've got a lot of them. Yeah, and they have tough schedules, but we're going into budgeting here in the next few months. So does anybody have any preference? I know last year, I think our joint meeting with the commissioners was in May. Obviously, it's not happening this year. We have different format. I was hoping as we moved to phase three and got down the road that we might actually have a combination of in-person and virtual. It'd be much better to be in-person with the commissioners, but it's looking like it's probably going to be a virtual meeting. Any comments about timeline or anything? Okay. And I'm always thanking BCAT, but we want to thank them again today for broadcasting so that members of the public can watch our proceedings. And last but not least, I know the staff gets tired of me saying thanks, but I want to thank them because even in spite of the criticisms I have, and even though I voted in favor of it, this is a very complex subject. Most of these things are, and until you get into the documents and get into the 300-page manuals and go through it and try to understand as much as you can, especially if that's not your area of expertise, and try to take in testimony and make your best judgment. I'm just thankful that I'm a planning commissioner and I don't have to administer this. And so very thankful and even more appreciative of the staff and DCD and Public Works for the work they do in stormwater and all the different divisions they have. So just wanted to extend my thanks again, because I think you guys do a great job and I'm thankful you're there.
And I would also like to comment that I really did appreciate Mr. Remick's email and the time he took to explain what's going on and how things are being affected at the county level with budgets and everything. That was really well written and insightful. It helped a lot.
Okay, great, thank you. Any other for good of the order? Okay, that's it. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
A motion to adjourn. Is there a second?
Second.
Give a motion and second, and I will not make you vote twice. This will be it. All those in favor of adjournment signify by saying aye and raising your hand, please.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Meeting's adjourned 7:06 p.m. Thank you, everybody, and we'll see you at the next meeting.
All right. Night.
Thank you, commissioners.
Night, everyone.
Thank you, man.